Blog Talk Radio.
I pushed my way in through the door. It took a lot of nerve. I did the dishes, swept the floor. You didn't say a word. Drew a picture on the wall, cobwebs in my hair. I cannot tell a lie, I swear. I just wanna hang around. I just wanna hang around. I just wanna hang around with you. Clear the ivy off the roof on your widow's wall. I wrote a poem in your front room. I wrote it out in chalk. Made some tea with ginger spice. Found the recipe in the last place I thought it'd be. I just wanna hang around. I just wanna hang around. I just wanna hang around with you. Yeah, I do. It's true. I fed your cats in the corner of the hall. I drove down to the laundromat. I didn't mind at all. Separating whites from prints, a labor of love. But I did it, dear, because I just wanna hang around. I just wanna hang around. Around with you.
I'd like to welcome everyone to John Talk Radio tonight. This is our October the 21st, 2017 episode. We've been doing this since November the 8th of 2008. And we're rolling right up on our ninth year anniversary. There's no one I would rather have on the show tonight and to spend an hour with than Maurice Mate. Maurice, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, John. It's a pleasure being here.
It's great to have you. I really, I've listened to your album several times and a new album, and we will tell the listening audience, Maurice Mate's new CD release, new album, whatever you want to call it, a CD, an album, an LP, it's all of those. And it is Jealous Wreck. And it is really great, and I love it. And I think it's amazing. And we want to talk about that tonight. We want folks to know, when will this be officially released, Maurice?
We're having the release on November 4th, Saturday, November 4th. And it'll be available on my website at that point. And also after that, you know, locally here in the stores and Cincinnati area. And we're having a CD release show that night, at November 4th, that Saturday at the Southgate House Revival. And it's going to be me and Cousin Kissers, which are a really good local band that play a lot of country oriented sort of music, traditional country. And so it's going to be a really fun night. I'm looking forward. I'm actually going to do a set with them of songs, of covers. I'm opening
okay.
with just a solo set of my songs from this record, but the new one. But after that, we're going to do a set of music together. And it's a group of songs that I've always wanted to do. Some of my favorite material country and western and edging towards rock and roll type of music after that. So I'm really looking forward to the show. It's going to be fun.
And what time is that going to all the fun is going to start at what time?
Well, the doors open at around 7:30 at the Southgate House, but the show won't start till about 9.
Okay.
That's when I'll be on. I'm going on first, just a solo set, and then it goes till about 1:30, I think, if I could stay up all night, John.
I sometimes I have all these gray anticipations, Maurice, of, oh yeah, I'm still a kid and I can do all this stuff, and it's like, oh man, I don't know, but I do give it my shot. One question I have, Maurice, when you've been playing live for quite a while, and when something like this comes up, when you're introducing new music and it's just got to be very exciting, how do you feel leading up to the performance? Do you still have butterflies? Do you still feel like an anticipation, or is it that you've done? How does emotionally feel for Maurice Matei before you get on stage when you're doing something like this, where you're presenting new music and it's just you and the guitar?
Yeah, it's a little nerve-wracking at first with new material, and I don't perform out that often anymore. I don't know if I will be in the future or not, but you have to kind of get your feet wet at first. It's strange because after the first few songs, you settle in, you know. But it's those first numbers that you're a little nervous. Well, not you can be a lot nervous at first. But I was fortunate this time around because I kind of have been doing some performing live. Just to lead up to this, it started with a house concert I did at Mike's Tittle's house, where we recorded the record. And we did. He invited me to join a couple of himself and another Michael, I think was his name, and to do set of music. And so I did all the material. From the new record, I didn't do any of the older stuff, and that really helped me a lot because I can gauge how to perform certain things and what songs work, what songs didn't, or what song did I have to alter, because a lot of times that's what it is. You know, you don't really know what song will work until you get in front of an audience. You know, and that gave me a chance to feel that out a bit, and that made it. I think that makes this. The shows that are upcoming a lot easier to do. So but you do, obviously you feel nervous a bit, you know, especially when it's new material. But the nature of the songs on this record really lend themselves, at least the ones I selected, lend themselves to a live presentation, I think, this time around. They're just suited for that type of thing. For me, they are anyway. So
now, does it take a lot to figure out? Like, are you going to play all the songs, or are you just a select few of them? How did you decide which ones?
Well, I decided basically by not choosing the ones that were too long, because people don't. Well, I wanted the ones that were kind of up-tempo, not too long, and then kind of vary those up with a few of the ballads on the record. And I don't do the whole thing, obviously. I do 8 tunes from the record, maybe 9, I can't remember. I'm doing 8 of the songs from the CD. So.
Well, we started off the show with I Just Want to Hang Around. And I really, really like that song. Can you talk to us about that? Like how the writing of it, what's behind all that, the song?
Well, yeah, that this whole CD really came about by chance. I didn't really intend to do a CD, but an idea struck me at a certain point last year, earlier this year, when I started writing the material. And it's this idea of obsessive love or attraction, you know, and from the male point of view. And I mean, the roots of this you can go back to, I suppose, La Vita Nova, which is Dante's book on his obsession with Beatrice, you know, or, you know, Werther with Charlotte, or, you know, all those older novels that concentrate on this kind of focusing in on a person that for some reason that you can't even explain, you become fascinated with or obsessed with. And that song, and I approach it from 14 different, there's 14 cuts on the record, and I approach it from 14 different points of view. Some of them overlap, but they can all be from 14 different sort of personalities. Anyway, that particular song was more kind of a black comedy, scary kind of comedy, a stalker type of point of view. And I thought of this this man who is very attracted or obsessed with a person and a woman, and he just becomes this fawning little pile of jelly, you know, and that is just running errands and doing anything just to be around, you know, the person he's obsessed with. And so, but I approached that one a bit more from the, like I said, a darker kind of comedy point of view, comical or humorous kind of point of view, and turning into this person just willingly, you know, because of how he feels about this individual. So all the songs kind of, in one way or another, approach, are really about that same kind of thing. And it's just some of the songs are about a person who is in the relationship, some who is out, some who has never even been there, unrequited, so to speak. But they're all revolve around that. So it's sort of a crypto concept. CD.
Now, I was thinking about that, Maurice, I guess the question would be, did you write to a theme, or did the theme come from the songs? Because there is definitely a flow of this music, and it kind of fits together. So was it like, okay, this is where the songs are going, so this is what the theme is, or I like this particular feel, I'm going to write my songs around that?
I think the songs were slave to the theme. They all lent themselves to the idea, the concept of the record. It wasn't very hard to do. I mean, it was once I got going on it, and I think the first one I wrote is the title track, which is the opening track of the record. And after that, they all followed very easily, and they all fit in very nicely with the theme, and I didn't vary it from that general theme, you know. So I'd have to say that, you know, I think the theme came first, the concept, which is strange for me because I don't think if I didn't spell it out this way, I don't think the person just casually listening to the CD would say, oh, this is a concept. I don't think they would get it, which is fine by me because I generally don't like concept records, you know. I think they're silly, but for me, the writing end of it, it definitely did fit into that. So
yeah, that's an interesting point. Now, what is Maurice Mate like when you're in your I'm writing music mode, and you're starting, like you said, you started off with Jealous Wreck, and that kind of thing started falling into place. Do you need space, or do you need quiet? Do you need time to just work on that? Or is this something that happens like in a program going on when everything else in your life is happening?
It's a little combination of both, I think. I generally do better when I'm alone or when it's there's not a lot of activity going on. But ideas, that's when I develop a song. But ideas for songs, even titles just ideas for a song will come at any time. Usually it's when I'm busy doing something else that doesn't require any kind of thinking, which is pretty much what I normally do. And it's usually if I'm out walking or something, an idea will strike me, and that's when I can flesh it out maybe later or maybe the next day, you know. But as far as really writing the song, I find that it's most successful when there isn't a lot of other stuff going on around me. That's when I'm best. I think that's why I tend to write more tunes in the morning, early when there's nobody around, and my mind is fresh, and I don't have any distractions, and I can just, I can just concentrate and write. And the beauty of writing is that, unlike other things that I do, drawing and photography, I don't, once I hit a groove in a song, once I start into a song, an hour, 2 hours can go by, sometimes 3 hours can go by, and I have no idea. I mean, I honestly don't have any sort of concept of the time going by. I look up and it's 2 hours later, and that's usually the best songs, you know, those are the best ones that just take over. And that for me is the thrill of this whole process. That is a real high for me personally. It doesn't happen all that often, but when it does, it's really exciting. So,
I've got to totally agree with that, to the point where when you get lost in something that you enjoy doing and you're not even aware of the time, that's really cool. I mean, and like you said, it's rare, but you're mm-hmm. caught up in something and you're thinking, oh my, that was, it's almost like waking up from a nap and you think that was the best nap. I don't remember anything about the nap, but I remember waking up and it was such a great nap. And then like when you're writing a song, you're thinking, oh my gosh, I was caught up in this creative thing and I was in another world.
That's a fantastic analogy, because I think that's so accurate. It really is like that, because I think what happens is your subconscious kind of takes over or something, and you're not thinking in terms, you get into a deeper level of consciousness. I mean, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but it does feel like you're waking up from sleeping or some kind of trance or something. You know, it's strange.
Well, I totally understand.
It really is like that.
Yeah, in December, my guest is going to be Prudence Farrell Bruns, and she was the lady that John Lennon wrote Dear Prudence about. And she is really into meditation and all this stuff. And I'm reading her book now, and it's a lot about that level of consciousness. It's a different level of consciousness you've reached. And I think that that's one of the most refreshing things that can ever happen to you. Now, also, I was thinking when you were saying to Maurice, it's like you've almost you're going through your life and you're got the steering wheel and you're going right, you're going left, you're making sure, you know, you're stopping at the stop signs, you're doing everything right. And then all of a sudden, some of your most important things that you've ever done, you're not even aware you're doing it.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Now that sounds weird.
True.
But
it's true. Well, you know, it's really a question. It's so funny because it's really the process of that writing or any creative act, I guess, is a lot of it boils down to getting out of your own way, you know, and not letting something else take over. And you can't really control that too much. It just has to happen, many times. And that's, for me, that's always been what's drawn me back into writing, you know. It's always been the attraction for me.
It's that, it's got to be that, like you said, it's like a high or a buzz or something, because it's just a great feeling. I always quote, I quote Jeff Tweedy a lot because I really am a big fan of his, and I've read a lot about him and his interviews, and he's such an interesting person, and he has a lot of different things going on physically and mentally, and he's had a lot of different things, but I did a show about a month and a half ago with Scott Nykowski, and we from the rock band Goats. And looked at the album Summer Teeth by Wilco, and we did like a deep dive into the album. And if you look at the lyrics in the songs, Maurice, and you start studying and looking at what he was writing about, it was incredibly dark and really offensive and incredibly violent and all kinds of things. But the songs are kind of upbeat, which is weird. And then the lyrics are kind of like, you're listening to it and you're kind of tapping your foot and thinking, what is he talking about? And then the interview with Jeff was, this guy was saying, I think this is right into what we're talking about. He's saying, okay, so I'm looking at your lyrics and there's no way if I wrote those lyrics, I would want anybody to even know I had those thoughts, let alone put them in a song or put them down so people could know it was me. And Jeff Tweedy said, I work my butt off. My whole life is to get to that place. And the guy goes, what do you mean? He goes, I get to a place where it's not me in control. It's everything I've worked for. It's my subconscious. It's all the things I've learned. And now it's like coming out of me. It's a deep thought. It's feelings. It's emotions. And that's where he said, I know I've got it. And I thought, man. And he said he wrote that, and he was going through a really bad relationship during that album, and he even mentioned in the album a couple times about killing his wife or his girlfriend or whoever it was. But he said those feelings were true and they were real, and he dealt with them and he got them out, and they didn't fester, they didn't lay in there. And I thought, you know, when you're writing things like that, Maurice, not like that, but when you're writing music and writing lyrics and everything's starting to flow, do you sometimes think, where am I going with this? Or is this something I want people to know about? Are you constructing it? Or is it just kind of like you're thinking, wow? Because he was saying those things were just like flowing out of him.
Yeah, I don't really no, I've never, I can't think of an instance when I've written material that I thought, do I want anybody to hear this, you know?
Yeah.
And I've written some, because it's either too personal or it's too dark. I've never been in a place where the song, the theme, or the concept of the song is too dark. And I don't want people to be to hear it like that. You know, it never really, although I've written a lot about a lot of dark thing subjects, I never really think about that. You know, what I think about is oh my God, that's such a crummy rhyme. You know, I don't want anybody to hear that. You know, and it could be. It could be about, who knows, some stalker dude, whatever. But I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about, oh, my God, there's got to be a better rhyme for that. So I don't really – maybe I should think about that. You know, one writer who I've heard that said about, not by her but by other people, I can't remember who said this about her, was Joni Mitchell, because she's right. If you listen to her lyrics, like on Blue, the album Blue, and what's the other one? For the Roses, maybe. I don't know. You can tell that there's no filter there. You know, it's just, she is just coming out with it, and she's being very personal in her, at least I read it that way, in her writing. And they said, oh, my God, you really should not be putting that out there to people. to have people listen to that. But she, I'm sure, you know, it didn't. She just thought of it as being part of her, I don't know, part of her artistry or something. Part of her, probably just being honest, you know, being straightforward, right? I think that's more important than any than anything else. Just being honest with your writing and not trying to hide things so that or smooth things over. You know, that's never bothered me. That's really never bothered me. I've never really thought about that.
I was when I was going through this album with Scott, and I was listening to. I'd heard the songs before, but I hadn't gone into them, and I was like freaked out by a few of them. And we talked about it, you know. And he was saying that Jeff was saying that was his most creative point that he'd ever reached was that point.
Right.
And I thought that's really interesting. But I think I've asked you this before, but I ask you again. When you're writing music and you're in that mode and you're creating music, I don't know that you also draw. And when is there different moods or different ways? Is when you get creative, can you go from music to drawing to other things that you do, writing and all the other things, or is it like a specific time for this and a specific time for that?
Well, I mean, I do more than one thing at a time. Usually the drawing is always there because it's so handy. It's so easy just to have a sketchbook and pick up a pencil and draw. So I that's easy. The photography is more difficult. A lot of it has to do with logistics, so to speak, you know, how easy it is to access whatever you want to do. For instance, if I were to want to take pictures, that would involve a little bit more work and, you know, to go out and find interesting things to photograph. Or if I wanted to print photographs, I'd have to – that would be a whole arduous process of getting that together. Whereas writing songs and drawing and even just writing, you know, just writing – it's very low, there's very low overhead, so to speak, in that, because, as I said, you know, all you got to do is pick up a pencil and write or draw, pick up a guitar and start strumming and start writing a few lyrics, you know, if they come to you. It's much easier to access. So that really dictates that. Now, if I were to start a photography project, I would be inclined to be more focused on that simply because there would be more work involved in getting things together on a regular basis, either printing or for going out and shooting. That's more involved. That's more labor intensive just to go out and to do it or to get the darkroom together and start printing. I mean, my guitar, I play every day, regardless of whether I'm writing or not writing. And so that's, I mean, that's really very simple to the tough part about writing is having ideas, really. It's not so much the actual physical act of getting that, of writing a song, it's the coming up with the concept and the song itself and the idea for the song and what's interesting and what isn't interesting and what works and what doesn't work, you know. That's the tough part of it, the actual physical part of doing it. It's easy. So, yeah, I can go from that to drawing to simple writing without – as a matter of fact, I like doing that because if I get too bogged down in a song or if I get tired – doing any kind of visual art or the drawing, and get away from it and just play a song or write some material, you know. So
yeah,
it's good to do that. To get so you sort of feel refreshed going into some other medium and trying that for a while. So.
Now, I'm curious about the photography projects, because when you do your music, it's involved in you, unless you're writing about other people, and then that's another thing. But generally, that would be something just with you, and might be the same way with your drawing. But photography would involve other people. Do you have to how does that work when you start thinking about it? Do you have to get permission to take the people's pictures? Are you thinking, okay, this is what I have to do, or is it like I'm just going to walk around and find something interesting? How does that, because I've always wondered how the photography thing starts, and is there any legal things to it, or how does that work?
Oh, there are, but I don't really pay attention to that. I mean, Well, first of all, let me just backtrack a little bit, because I really don't shoot. I don't take pictures anymore. I don't really have any desire to do that anymore. But in the past, the two major projects that I did were, in my life anyway, were the Italian photographs and the 90s photographs that I shot over here in the 1990s. And both black and white, both traditional film, you know, not digital. And the Italian ones were mainly shots of my family, really, and rural Italy, and some city shots. And a lot of architectural, so those kinds of things, because they were almost a travelogue, really, I didn't really think about the implications of any legal, liability or anything of that nature for that. Now, the ones in America that I shot in the 90s, those clearly, because of the sensitivity of the subject matter and because they were more recent. But they were here, and some people I didn't know. Those were more. Those were a little bit more touchy as far as the legal implications of publishing that and showing that in public. But the fact is, I didn't care about that either. I just went ahead and shot it. Well, the problem with that was that the nature of the photographs that I was taking in the 90s was such that. They were club shots, party shots, things at events, black tie things, all this kind of crowd thing oriented things. They weren't posed studio photographs. They were night documentary street photography, and it would have been real awkward to go up to some coked out person in some club and say, oh, by the way, I took your picture. Do you mind signing a release?
just seems funny to me. And by the way.
By the way, yeah, thanks for that, but did you sign this? It's just not realistic, you know. And it's just you take your chances, you know. I've been dodged that bullet, but. There's no other way to do it. To do that photography, you either take it with a certain amount of risk, or you don't bother with it, because it's hard to make it work any other way.
The work that I've seen that you've done, Maurice, is amazing, and it's got to, like, when you look at it and you go back and you, like you were saying, that your family in Italy and the different things that were going on, you have memories of that. But I mean, this is going to trigger that, and they're going to take you right back there. That's just got to be an amazing feeling. I love that when it happens.
Yeah, well, it is. You know, it's somewhat melancholy, because a lot of the people that I photographed or are no longer around in Italy. I was very fortunate to have, because of my parents and because of my personal situation, that I had the ability to go back and forth something like a dozen times to take pictures and to just enjoy the culture and the surroundings, and not go there as a tourist so much, because you were actually living with your family and you got to see what people actually lived like over there. So I was very, extremely fortunate for that, and I'm glad that I have a record, a document of that time.
That's going to be awesome. Are you ever inspired to write music by looking at some of those photographs?
No, not really. I may have in the past just certain songs that are specifically about Italy and being there at a certain time that I've written, but not really directly from just looking at the picture, a picture. No, that's, it never really works that way for me. It's got to be more, it's not that cut and dry. It's got to be a little bit more thought. More thought goes into it than just, bouncing off of sort of images, I think.
Right.
I think it's more related to life experiences, actual life experiences,
which is
that bring out songs.
Yeah, and that's the best art. I mean, it just really is. It's just when people can share their life or what they see or perceive around them through art is incredible. My guest is Maurice Mattei, and you can go to his website, mmattei.com. His new album, Jealous Wreck, will be out November 4th. You can go to the Southgate House Revival in Cincinnati, Ohio, and you can go to that CD release party. Doors are open at 7:30, and you can, I think Maurice will take the stage around 9 or so, and he'll be playing till 1:30.
I'll try anyway.
That's good. Well, Maurice, I got another song I'd like to play, and then if you could talk about this a little bit. You were talking about, the way you were feeling and the songs and the theme of this, and kind of a stalker thing. Well, that's 5 Days Straight. I think it's an incredible song. Talk about that and the writing of that, because that's kind of I can visualize like a movie of that when I'm hearing this song.
That's a very visual. Well, a lot of the songs on this particular record are very visual. There's a lot of images, I think in the lyrics of this time around. But anyway, that song is a pretty direct hit on a man who's been, at least in his mind, who's been betrayed, and he wants to get revenge. And it probably won't end very, very, it won't end well. So, you don't get to that part of it, but there are definitely some, very hard feelings there. So,
this is 5 Days Straight.
What that song is. Mm-hmm.
And this is from Maurice Mattei's latest work, Jealous Wreck, and we'll be right back to continue our conversation with Maurice right after this.
But you're my enemy. Every chance you get, you turn your back on me. I try to act the part, pretending I don't see. You thought that I would bail, but I've been on your trail for 5 days straight. I don't care where you go or what you do. Connections, you got some too, but they're not what they seem. They don't work for you. They're writing me in code. Well, I've been on this road for 5 days straight. I may cross a line and I can't say why. Your memory never fades, even when I try. In case I lose my head, I got an alibi. I've been to do my best, and I ain't had no rest for 5 days straight. and my matchbox and an old ID. Had a real good time, like we used to do, just you and me. Letters go unanswered, you never come around. Looking everywhere, everywhere in town. I'm looking high and low, I got my bloodhound. Don't matter where you went, been following your sense for 5 days straight. Signpost from here to there, measured out in quarter miles. Have yourself a seat, there's room to spare. Don't want to do no wrong, but then again I might. I was once your fool, now I'm your parasite. I made a bad decision, gotta make it right. You thought that we were through, but I've been tracking you for 5 days straight.
With Maurice Matei. This is John, and we are on John Talk Radio. We appreciate everybody listening and supporting independent musicians through the years. Maurice's new release is Jealous Wreck. You can go on his website, mmattei.com. It's available November 4th, and you can also go to Maurice Matei's CD release party at the Southgate House Revival on November 4th. Maurice, we were talking about your creative process, and with this is an acoustic album, and it's a great guitar work. When do you, how does it switch?
You're cutting out. Cutting in and out.
Work with the
gone. I can't hear. Hello?
Hi, can you hear me now?
Right now, yeah.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, I'm not sure what that is. If I need to change connections, if
I'll tell you what, I'll try calling back.
And our guest is Maurice Matei. He's going with. Calling right back in. One thing that where you can listen to it for 4 years now. So, a lot of fun. And let's see who we got coming up next week on John Talk Radio. Blues guitar player from Hell, Michigan. And I'm not making that up. That's exactly where Michael's from. He's a quite an incredible guitar player. Saturday at 6 o'clock. And Maurice is going to be incredible treasure chest. And I just want people to know about it. It will be available on November 4th. And can you hear me?
It's still cutting in and out. I think the problem's on over there on your end, I think. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know what I can do about it.
I don't know. I can guess at what you're asking.
just end the interview in place. Really, I'm not sure what's hearing. Listening
okay.
to John Radio, I will play some music, Maurice. I'll get a hold of you and maybe. But I think what we got was really good. So thank
okay.
you, and we'll play some music. And sorry about the technical problems. And we'll everybody have
I'm
a great
hearing
day.
I'm hearing you now. I'm
oh, you are?
Now.
Well, that's.
Yep. No. Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
I'm going to say that. Okay, thank you. And remember.
That everything will be alright, but the past, it haunts me nearly every night. Shadows come and go, I see them in my dreams. I know that they're not what they seem. Why stop? We just started. How could I be so blind? Why stop? We just started. Why did you change your mind? With every step I take, I wonder what went wrong. Can't turn the page. I can't believe that you are gone. There may yet come a time